Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. The household of faith. I want you to notice that phrase there, the household of faith. It's just another phrase that's put into the Bible that's supposed to describe what the church is. The church is a household of faith. We are brothers and we are sisters in a spiritual family. Literally, we are brothers and sisters in the Lord with each other in a spiritual family. Those of us that have been saved and birthed into God's family by the Holy Ghost, we are literally brothers and sisters in the Lord, a household of faith. And we are told to especially do good unto our brothers and sisters in the Lord as we have, therefore, opportunity. Well, we have opportunity. We have opportunity today to do good to each other. We have opportunity today to love each other, to care for each other, to show some compassion towards each other. I want to encourage, I hope you have a strong home. I hope you have a nice marriage and children, if you're home, or if you're a single person, you have the support of your family and so on and so forth. But if you don't, there's always a spiritual family anyone can belong to, and that's the church. Even if you have no family, even if you're desolate, you can be received and be accepted in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and have a spiritual family of brothers and sisters in the Lord. The church is three things. The church is the body of Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. And the church is the building of Christ. The building Christ owns. This one happens to be at 8688 South Main Street. This building is called in the Bible a church. Keep those three definitions in mind. That's what the church is. The church is, number one, the body of Christ. In Romans 12 and verse 5, it says, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. We're all members of this family. We are one big family. It's like we're a team. There's one team. Imagine if half the team didn't show up today at the game. That wouldn't be right. And that's what the Lord's trying to get us to see. The church is the body of Christ, and all our members, in particular, everyone who has ever been saved is a member of the body of Christ. He considers the church his body, just like those of us who have the unique relationship. There's none like it anywhere else on earth, but we have the unique relationship of marriage. The Bible says, I and that lady right over there are one flesh. We are no longer two. We are one flesh. God sees my wife and I as one. And that's what he tries to picture the church as also. That we are one body and members in particular. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 verse number 27, it says this, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. You're the body of Christ. So the church is the body of Christ. Number two, the church is the bride of Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse number 2 says this, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. We are the bride of Christ. Christ is pictured in this relationship as the husband, and all of us who are saved as the wife. And we ought to be a chaste virgin. That means separated from the world and separated from the things of this world and sin, so that we can be sanctified unto the Lord. The Bible describes as a bride preparing herself for her husband. We think of a marriage day and how the bride just gets up early that day and just prepares herself for presentation to her husband to become his wife from that day on, and how even in our day and age, she wants everything to be perfect. when she walks down that aisle and gives herself to her husband. She wants her hair to be perfect and her makeup and her dress and her, she wants it all to be clean. The writer in Jude said we ought to hate the garments spotted by the flesh. And that's the stage we're in now. Our Lord, our husband, Jesus, has gone to heaven to prepare us a mansion. He says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's an oriental picture of marriage, how a man was supposed to go out and build his house first. And then when he had his house first and his father determined that he was ready for his wife, he could then tell his son, go get your bride. And that's a picture of the rapture. Very, very soon, the Lord is going to be done with the mansions. Jesus is going to be done with the mansions he's making for his wife to dwell in. And his father's going to say, okay, son, everything's prepared. Go get your bride. And we're going to hear a trumpet sound. We're going to go up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord, presented to the Lord at the marriage supper of the Lamb as his wife. The church is the bride of Christ. Romans chapter number 7. And, you know, we ought to behave like that, too. You know that? We ought to behave and say, you know, the Lord might come today. I need to prepare and get myself ready. Romans 7:4 says, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. We are married to him that was raised from the dead. What's the name of him that was raised from the dead? Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the husband. So the church is the body of Christ. The church is the bride of Christ, and the church is the building of Christ. In the book of 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, I'm trying to write a book here. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, it says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So the church is the building of Christ. The building, this building belongs to the Lord. Now we, in this world, have to tell everybody that it belongs to Faith Bible Baptist Church and corporate. But in our hearts we say what? This is the Lord's house. This is the Lord's house. This has been dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is to have the preeminence here. He is the chief shepherd here and the apostle of our souls. He's the one. We ought to treat this place with respect, and we ought to go to it as a place where we get together with the Lord. So think of the church as a family and the church house as home. A room of quiet, a temple of peace. A home of faith where doubting cease. A house of comfort where hope is given. A source of strength to help us to heaven. A place of worship. A place to pray. I found all this in my church today. The church is a special place. And I want to speak about the church today and just how we need to love the church. And I guess if I have to give a title of a message, I would call it Renewing Our Love. Renewing Our Love. This is where the Lord invites us home many times a week. When you, quote, go to church, unquote, on Sunday morning, you're going to the Lord's house. You're going home. You're going to where the Lord in our little finite minds dwells. And it's a special place where his honor dwells. And he invites us here many times a week. Just like you may go to your parents' home once a week or many times a week or something like that. Or to your family. Now, like any family, relationships in the Lord's family need to be renewed in love sometimes. Sometimes even in your own house, I don't know if any of you have perfect homes. Ours wasn't. But have you ever noticed that even in your homes, and you may have a husband and a wife, a couple of kids, a bunch of kids, I don't know, but even sometimes in those homes, siblings don't always get along together with each other perfectly, sometimes have to renew their love for each other, sometimes especially today with text messaging and the internet and TV and movies and iPods and so on and so forth. So many distractions can come into a home that a brother and a sister can live in the same home but yet be so distracted by these forms of technology that they are estranged from each other, even though physically they're living in the same house. Have you ever noticed that? And sometimes brothers and sisters need to renew their love for each other. Sometimes husbands and wives need to renew their love for each other. Love is one of those things that needs to be renewed. It needs to be constantly worked on. And marriage is the same way. Things can come into a home that can begin to slowly estrange a husband and a wife from each other. A person can even become preoccupied with such things as newspapers and television and sports and so on. The next thing you know, the husband and wife are living in the same home and movies, but they become estranged from each other. They can, any of you that have been married for some time know that there's times where you have to renew your love for each other. My wife and I go to marriage conference every year. It's coming up, November. And we've never missed one. And we enjoy it. And we hear the speakers, men speakers, lady speakers. And we hear them, we learn things. And we always come home refreshed. And we always come home and think, you know, we're doing this right, but boy, we've got to work on this. And it's just something that refreshes us. And we always drive home and we always say, boy, I wish we had some more couples from our church go to this. It would help them so much to just renew, reinvigorate their love for each other. And I end up appreciating her more. And it's very helpful. And we find that love needs to be renewed. Love changes. Love deepens. And it should. It changes. It's hard to describe. When you're newlywed, there's certain things about the newness of it and even the physical aspect of it and the hormones and so on and so forth. And that stuff can last for a while. But brethren, you're going to need something deeper than that for that thing to go on and get stronger. And you can just get saved and get into the church and the new life you have in Christ. That's going to last you for a while. Going to church is going to be exciting, and you're going to love preaching and teaching, and you can't wait to get your Bible open. And when you first get saved, you're just so excited about hearing the Word. But, brethren, that's going to wear off. You're going to have to find something deeper if you're going to stay committed and loved to the household of faith, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are some very, very dangerous enemies to this thing called love that can affect us. Very dangerous. Turn over to your Bibles to 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10. I want to show you one. Here is a very dangerous enemy to love that can affect the church. It says in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10, "For Demas hath forsaken me." Why? "Having loved this present world." Now, if you get your concordance out and you'll take the word Demas, the name Demas, you'll find that he's mentioned several times in the Scripture. He's spoken of very highly by the Apostle Paul as a fellow laborer in the mission work that the Apostle Paul was doing. You'll find this guy Demas went around with Paul assisting in a missionary work, leading people to Christ. He was excited about God. He was excited about God's work. But all of a sudden, something happened to Demas. It says, "Demas hath forsaken me." What was the problem? "Having loved this present world." See, love has some enemies. What's one of them? The world. It took Demas right out of church. It took him right away from the household of faith. The Apostle John said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the struggles with ownership, the pride of life, who owns me? Those things are not of the Father, but they're of the world. And you and I need to struggle and get the victory over the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, this struggle over ownership, who really owns me, and we need to resign our ownership to God and surrender our lives to the Lord and say, Lord, you own me. And not love the world, because if a person loves the world, eventually they will forsake the church. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. There's a lot of Demases in the world. Oh, my, churches everywhere would be packed except for brothers and sisters in the Lord who once loved us, who once walked amongst us, who once worked with us, fell in love with the things of this world. Let me show you another enemy of love. Turn to Matthew 24, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 24. It's one of the great prophecies. There's seven great prophecies of the New Testament. This chapter is one of them. And the Lord describing how things would be in the end days, he said in verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. You all know what hot wax is like, right? It's really soft. It's really pliable. You can mold it and make it into different shapes and candles and so on and so forth. You can do a lot with hot wax. And that's the picture that the Lord's saying how love ought to be. It ought to be like hot wax. There ought to be a fervency. It says in another place in the Bible, we ought to love one another fervently. That means it ought to be a warm, hot love for each other that's pliable, that's soft. But when wax cools down, it becomes hard, doesn't it? And he's trying to show us the condition of the heart here, and he shows us what is it that can cause somebody who was once warm or hot and pliable, what is it that can make them hard? And he calls it iniquity. And he says, because in the last days iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That is one of the effects of sin. That's one of the effects of iniquity. It's pretty soon a person's heart just grows cold and hard. And pretty soon they're just consumed with themselves and the pleasures of this life and pleasing themselves, and their heart grows hard. And that becomes an enemy of the church. And we need to be careful about that. The prophet Hosea once said that wine and whoredom take away the heart. If you keep using alcohol and you keep getting involved in sin, sins of the flesh, pretty soon it'll take away your heart. You'll become a heartless human being. And the last thing you'll love is God and His church. You'll just be so, sin will take you on a long journey away from God. We ought not to flirt with it. And it'll take us to where we can lose our heart, and we can get involved in behaviors, even as believers. And sometimes people wake up and they say, where am I? What am I doing? I can't believe I've done this. Friends, iniquity shall abound in the last days. We can sin faster today than people have ever sinned before. Because of technology. Because of images that can come into our homes through computers and movies and TV and music that can come into our ears through all kinds of iPods and CD players and MP3 players and all these things. And we just have our senses today bombarded like never before with images and sounds that can take away our heart, and pretty soon our love has waxed cold and it needs to be renewed. We need to renew our love towards the household of God. The damage is done. The damage is done every year in our church. This is the end of summer. And that's why I'm preaching a message like this, because every summer we see casualties. Every pastor, every church sees what we call the casualties of summer up here north. And we see people that have gotten distracted during this summer. And there's a lot of things, and they're not all bad things, but you got the graduations and the parties and the vacations and the trips and the all kinds of things going on in the summertime that don't happen other times of the year. And pretty soon people get all involved in those things, and they're no longer thinking about the household of faith and the things of the Lord. And we send medics back, but sometimes there's no helping those that have been wounded by the world and sin. And this summer, our church has lost. We've lost young adults. We've lost older adults. We've lost a few teens. We've lost some children off of the buses. We've lost them. We gained other people, but we've lost some people to this world. And we've lost some people to sin. They've been in it for weeks and weeks and weeks, and now their hearts have hardened. But there's hope we can get them back. It might just take somebody going by their house or giving them a call, sending them a postcard, writing them a letter, and maybe warming them up again. There are others that are still here. Their hearts aren't here anymore. They're just here in body. We can renew our love. Thank God for the renewal of our love. I've seen people renew their love. I've seen married couples renew their love. Sometimes I'll talk with somebody who's gotten a divorce, and I'll say, what in the world happened? And she'll go on and on and on about how he just said that he just doesn't love me anymore. Or she'll go on and on, or he'll go on and on and say, well, she just said she doesn't love me anymore. You know what they did? They failed to renew their love at critical moments in their relationship. They failed to renew their love. And it's the same thing with church members. At critical moments, when somebody hurts your feelings, when somebody offends you, when somebody says something about you they shouldn't have said, or you're slighted or ignored, or somebody doesn't shake your hand, or you're not asked to be involved, and there's always these critical moments in every household. There's critical moments when belonging to a church, when maybe you get hurt, and at that critical moment, you can either quit loving or you can renew your love. Renew your love. I've seen marriages saved this way. Just one example, and some of the relatives are here today, of a couple years ago, back in 1980, when I met them, and they were separated and heading for divorce. And they happened to run across my brother, who was a born-again Christian. He began to tell them some things about the Bible and so on and so forth, and they just looked like another couple that was going to become a statistic of divorce, but they chose to renew their love. Now they're so in love with each other. God's given them many children. He's in the ministry right now. Some of you know who I'm talking about. He doesn't mind if I talk about either. I've talked to him. He's been such a good example. For 28 years ago, they renewed their love when they were about ready to quit. Anyone can do it. Anyone can say, I choose today to love God again. I choose to love my brother no matter what they've done to me. I choose to love them. I choose to love the God the Father. I choose to love God the Son. I choose to love God the Holy Spirit again. I choose to love the Bible again. I choose to love prayer again. I choose to love fellowship again. Any one of us can make that choice to renew our love. Sometimes I'll counsel with people about their marriages, and almost every time they'll say something like this. No, it's irreconcilable. And I'll say, what you really mean is you quit. You're a quitter. There's no such thing as irreconcilable when God's involved. God is the author and the giver of love. God has shed abroad His love in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. In Romans 5 and verse 5, and love is a fruit of the Holy Ghost. And if we have the Holy Spirit of God in us, then we have the capacity to love in us at any time. It's a choice. I'd like you to look in your bulletins in closing the message here. I wrote down some things about renewing our love, three areas, and I gave some scriptures. I want to encourage you to upkeep your love. Renew your love if it needs to be renewed. Number one, for God. Renew your love for God. Yes, the Bible teaches a believer can fall out of love with God. Doesn't mean they can fall out of salvation, but they can fall out of love with God. As I quoted earlier, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, what? The love of the Father's not in them. Don't say salvation's not in them anymore. Just means their love for the Father's not there anymore. I know what that's like. I had a season in my life where I was a backslider. I just didn't love the Father. I didn't love the Son. I didn't love the Holy Ghost like I used to when I first got saved. It wore off and I didn't renew it. The greatest commandment is, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, with all thy mind and with all thy strength. Now, to be honest with you, I don't know if I've ever come close to obeying that, but I sure want to. This is the first commandment. This isn't the last thing we get to when we've done everything else. It's the first. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Love your neighbor as yourself, you got to be kidding. Yet that's what the Lord expects, and He can enable us. All of His commandments are His enablings. He can give us the grace to love people like we love ourselves. But notice the verse in Jude 1 and verse 21, and this is one of the greatest. I think this is probably the most important discipline revealed to us in the Bible. If you can get this one discipline down, everything else will fall in line. You'll never have a problem with prayer if you can do what Jude 1 and verse 21 says. What does it say? Keep yourselves in the love of God. You'll never have a problem with prayer if you can do that. You'll never have a problem studying the Bible if you can keep yourself in love with God. You'll never have a problem talking to others about salvation if you can keep yourselves in the love of God. You'll never have a problem forgiving somebody who slighted you or offended you. You can keep yourself in the love of God. You never have a problem. You never have a problem loving your wife or your children or your husband. You can keep yourself in the love of God. It's the greatest commandment. I think this is the greatest discipline I know of in all the Bible. Keep yourselves in love with God. Now, how do you do that? Well, I don't know how you do it. One of the things that helps me is just in my mind and my heart by faith, I go back to Calvary. That's what I do. Calvary is the place where Christ died for me. He died on a cross for my sins. He bled to death. He was scourged and whipped and beaten for my transgressions, for my iniquities. He bore the brunt of the wrath of Almighty God that should have fallen on me, that fell on Christ. And He died for me so I could live. He died, He shed His blood to wash away my sins so I could be saved. And if I can in my mind and in my heart go back to Calvary and start out every day in my prayer life going back to the cross and remembering what Christ did for me, the eternal effect it had on me, how He saved me from my sins forever, it helps me to stay in love with God for that day. Keep yourselves in the love of God. I want to encourage you this morning to renew your love for God. Renew your love for God. I mean, if you got to kneel at this altar in a few minutes or go home and kneel by your bed, there's something, I think I say it almost every day of my life. I say, Lord, as I start this day, I want You to know, dear God the Father, I love You. God the Son, I love You. And God the Holy Spirit, I love You. And Lord, You know I don't love You like I should because You know everything, but I love You. And boy, that helps me to keep myself in the love of God. Why wouldn't I love Him? Why wouldn't I love Him? Number two, renew your love for the house of God. Summer's over. Notice the psalmist says in Psalm 26:8, Lord, I have loved the habitation of Thy house and the place where Thine honor dwelleth. This is where God is honored, right here, 8688 South Main Street. This building that's planted here. You could probably stand out in the parking lot and hit houses with a stone where Christ is cursed, where God is blasphemed, but not here. We honor the Lord here. This is a place where the Lord is honored. I have loved the habitation of Thy house and the place where Thine honor dwells. God's honor dwells here. Now, it may dwell in some of those houses out there if they're Christian homes. Maybe. But we know God's honor dwells here, and the psalmist says, I have loved the place, the habitation of thy house. He goes on to say in the next chapter, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. This is where we see how beautiful the Lord is. And to inquire or pray in his temple, my house shall be called a house of prayer. There's something. You can pray anywhere. Do you know that? You can pray out on a boat on a lake. And I hope you pray you don't drown. But there's something special about going to the house of God and praying. My house, Jesus said, shall be a house of prayer unto all nations. There's something special about praying in the house of the Lord. This is a great one right here. This is renewed love. Psalm 122:1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad. It ought to just fill our hearts with gladness. I know we're not perfect around here. I know sometimes you ignore and you're slighted and everything, but if coming for the people don't do it for you, come for God. Do it for the Lord. If the Lord's the only one that speaks to you when you come, praise God, you were here to hear that. But we need to renew our love, lastly, for the people of God. We need to renew our love. Maybe you don't. Maybe you are in love with God's people. But it says, let brotherly love continue. That means let it have no end. Always be in love with the household of faith, your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Why? John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. One to another. One to another. As we started the sermon out, it says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, but especially unto them that are of the household of faith. Do good especially to your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Love one to another. And then the world will say, you know, those people really know what love is. Those people are really God's people. This is my commandment, Jesus said, that you love one another. I wouldn't believe it if it didn't say it, as I have loved you. Wow, that's pretty high standard, isn't it? Jesus saying, the way I've loved you is the way I want you to love one another. Wow, he sure loved us a lot, didn't he? You know, the Bible says Christ loved the church. He gave himself for it. I want to encourage you to renew your love, to love the church, and give yourself for it. Give yourself for it. I think that I shall never see a church that's all it ought to be. A church whose members never stray beyond the straight and narrow way. I think that I shall never see a church that has no empty pews, whose pastor never has the blues. A church whose deacons always deek, and none is proud and all are meek. Where gossips never peddle lies, or make complaints or criticize. Where all are always sweet and kind, and all to each other's faults are blind. Such perfect churches there may be, but none of them is known to me. But still, I'll work and pray and plan to make my church the best I can. I want to encourage, this summer's over, that we renew our love for God, renew our love for God's house, renew our love for God's people. Let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you now, Lord, for this time that we have had in your word. Lord Jesus, you love the church, and you gave yourself for it. Help us to be like thee. That's what Christianity is, when we become like Christ. Help us to love the church. give ourselves for it. Maybe there's some here that don't have a church. Maybe they would consider ours as the household of faith that they would belong to. Or maybe they're visiting and they'll go back to theirs and be the best member they can be. Lord, thy will be done. We pray that our relationship to the church, that is the brothers and sisters in the Lord, the body, the bride, and the building of Christ, that our relationship would not be a distant one or a cold one, but as you have desired for us, that it would be fervent, our love. Lord, help me. I pray personally for more love, more care, more compassion, especially for the household of faith than I've ever had. And I pray now that we just, by the Holy Ghost, make this a matter of prayer, because I know it would be pleasing to you if we all just loved each other with the love of the Lord and loved God, loved His building, and did well to our brothers and sisters wherever we can or whatever we can do. And Lord, that we might even come to this altar and pray for some that have fallen away this summer, that maybe this week's efforts to bring them back would be successful. We can lift them up, brush them off, get them back in, get them growing with us. Build thy church, Lord. Build thy church. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.